And we're holding on. Peches Amud Bey is the last line. Mishnah says, Hotzia get. If a woman brings out a get showing that she's been divorced, the ain ima ksuba, but she doesn't have a ksuba with it. Now, why not? We're going to see in the Gemara. On the face of it, we could say that she's claiming she had a ksuba and then she lost it. We'll see in the Gemara that's not necessarily so. So goiva ksubasa, then she's still able to collect her ksuba. Now, we don't say, the husband might be able to say, you know what, the reason you don't have your ksuba is because I already paid you off, and therefore you return me your ksuba. You can't do that because Rashi says the ksuba is a maisa beistin. It's something that was done under the supervision of beistin. And in fact, the Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia, based on our Mishnah, that if a person that hatoyin acha maisa beistin, when there's a maisa beistin involved, and somebody says somebody tries to claim that I already paid it or it wasn't true in the first place or whatever, then we can't accept his claim. So instead, in other words, the fact that she has the get, we would say that if he had paid off the ksuba, then so now we're going to see in the Gemara, are we talking about, so how does he prove that he paid it already? Is he going to have to write her a receipt? Are there going to be other possibilities? We're going to see in the Gemara a whole discussion about that. Tosfos, by the way, discusses over here that it may even be that when we say her tzia get, it may not even mean that she has the actual physical get, but just that she brings edim that she had been divorced. In any case, the point is, even though she doesn't have money, even though she doesn't have a ksuba, nevertheless, we're still saying she can collect the ksuba because it's a mice based thing. On the other hand, ksuba of enim a get. On the other hand, the other way around, if she has the ksuba but does not have the get, he emeres ovad giti, so now she claims I lost my get. So she claims I had a get, but I lost it. He says I did already pay you in Bastin. And I wrote you a receipt. Now we're going to discuss in the Gemara again. In general, in Shas, you have the question, when a regular case of a Malva and Loiva, let's say, where Reuven owed Shimon money and then paid him. What do we say? Do we say that we require Reuven to now accept a receipt from Shimon? In other words, can Shimon say, I don't have the shtar choy right now, you take a receipt? And the problem with it is that Reuven is forever going to have to make sure to keep that receipt, make sure that mice don't eat it, make sure that it doesn't get damaged or whatever. Otherwise, Shimon conceivably could take out the shtar choy and collect from him again. So do we say that we require Reuven to say, to accept a receipt and he has to pay Shimon regardless? Or does he have the right to say to Shimon, look, you know what? I don't want to have to bother watching a receipt forever. If you want to be paid off this loan, bring out the shtar chayv. And if not, then it's your problem. Bring out the shtar chayv, in other words, because we can rip it up. And if not, then it's your problem. When you find the shtar chayv, then we'll deal with it. Or we'll see if there's other steps that can be taken. So now we're saying over here that so we're going to discuss in the Gemara the general question, which is going to affect our Mishnah as well, whether you write a shover or not. So here we're talking about that he's saying, I lost my shover. So Rashi explains like this. What happened was you already had your get based in one time. So you followed the beginning of the Mishnah, you brought out your get, you claimed you didn't have your ksuba, and I paid you the ksuba accordingly. So then what happened was now the husband is saying the reason you don't have the get is because now the beis din ripped it up. As far as me, they wrote me a shuv. Now, you're saying you don't have your get. You're claiming that's because you lost it. I'm saying that's because beis din actually ripped it up after I paid you your ksuba. Why don't I have my shuver? Because I lost it. V'chein ba'al choyv, shahoytzi shtar choyv, v'einim e'pruzbol. Or the same thing in a regular get. They rip up the get, right. So nowadays, actually, they do usually when a get is given, they rip it up, but for a different reason. Nowadays, when a get is given, they commonly rip it up so that afterwards, people won't start trying to find various reyusas, various problems with the get, which might call it into question. When it comes to gittin, we'll learn about it in Masechta Gittin, we'll learn a tiny bit of it in Masechta Gittin. There's a huge number of details that go into writing a get, and there's a tremendous number of of machlokas in halacha in the among Rishonim and among Achronim, among about different aspects of it. You don't want, for example, that at some point somebody is going to find this get and say, hey, one second, this name was written wrongly or something, and call the validity of it into question. So nowadays what they usually do, yeah, I mean, Marshy may even be remarried, have children, etc. Yeah. So the usual thing they do nowadays, in fact, is they do rip up the get right after it's given, and then they give the woman a receipt, a piece of paper that based in certifies we arranged the get between you and your ex-husband on such and such a date, etc. So that way it's not an actual get. But in the times that was back in the time of the Gemara, they didn't necessarily have that issue. There weren't as many outstanding machlokasid about how to write a get. However, we're saying over here that a reason to rip up the get would be if she was already paid her ksuba, so that she doesn't go and try to collect the ksuba again. And we're going to see in the Gemara, on Omid Beis that we don't just rip it up and say, and then people are going to think it's an invalid get. We do something specific. We write on the back of it. We say that not because it's possible, but just so she doesn't collect within another time. So now she's saying, I have my ksuba over here, but I don't have my get. So she's claiming, I had my get and I lost it. The husband is saying, no, what happened was, I paid you the first time around when you had only a get and no ksuba, like the beginning of our Mishnah. Then Beistin ripped up your get, which is why you don't have it now. And now you're claiming that now you're claiming because of your ksuba that you should be paid again. Meanwhile, the husband is saying, they wrote me a receipt. You wrote me a receipt at the time. I don't have my receipt now. The chain, who continues the Mishnah, the same way, Baal Chayv Shahotzi Shtar Chayv, the Enime Prusbal, the same way a Baal Chayv who brings out a Shtar Chayv, so he shows that you owe me X amount of money, the Enime Prusbal, but it's after Shemitah, and he doesn't have a Prusbal to go along with it. So the Malva is saying, I had a Prusbal and I lost it. The Loiva is saying, you never made a Prusbal in the first place, and in that case, the loan has been canceled by Shemitah. So the Mishnah says, Harei Lo Yiparu. Then they can't can't demand payment because again with the woman we would say maybe in fact she did use the get to collect, and in the case of the malva maybe in fact he didn't write a prusbal and then it was canceled by Shemitah. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, but Reb Shimon Gamliel says that's true, but minasakona ve'elach. But from the time of danger and onward, where there were times when the goyim were making gzeiros against the mitzvahs, there were shmodos or whatever, so people are afraid to hold on to their gittin and their prusbalim because it shows they're following the Torah. So therefore, they'd be afraid. As soon as they received the get, they would burn it. As soon as they received a prusbal, as soon as a prusbal was executed, they would burn it. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, from that time onward, Isha Goyva Ksubasa Shalai Beget, a woman is able to collect her ksuba, even if she doesn't have a get to show it, or Baal Chayv Goyva Shalai Beprusbal, and similarly, a Baal Chayv can collect even without a prusbal, because we can believe him to say that he had a prusbal and it was lost. So the Rambam paskins, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that this applies nowadays as well. And the Kesef Mishnah explains on the Rambam that he would say, Mishasa Sakona Ve'elach does not only mean during the time of the Gzeira, it means even in the times after that, because once that rule came into effect, then the Chachamim are not going to start distinguishing between different times when there is a Gzeira and when there isn't.
Now we even have the
Prusbal
just right
now. Now we have the Prusbal, we just did a Prusbal a few days ago at the end of Shemitah. Nowadays we just do it verbally. I mean, there is in principle there should be a shtar written, and you have people that are careful nowadays even to write a shtar, but right. But in practice we see that just making the verbal declaration is enough. Tosfos points out over here also that in the case of the Prusbal, at least, he has a migui. So there is a migui involved. Even if he doesn't have a Prusbal, he can say I wrote one, and therefore that migui, or the other way around. Actually, Tosfos talks about you could have a case. In the case of the Baal Chayv. So now, for example, if the other guy says, you know what, I agree you had a prusbal, but I already paid you back, then Tosfos says, actually, then it's not, then actually we could believe the loiva, because he could, because he has a migui to say that you didn't have a prus bull in the first place. And then Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying that on the other hand, the fact that it's Mashasa Sakona means that he has a valid reason to not have a prus bull with it. So in the end, we believe the lender to say that he had a prus bull and he lost it. So the Gemara asks, Shema mina kosvin shover. Now the implication of our Mishnah seems to be that we always force the person who's paying to accept the shover. Like we said before, you have a regular case of a malva and a loiva, for example. When he's saying when Shimon is saying pay up, and Reuven says, yeah, but where's your shtar? And Shimon says, I don't have it right now. Then we'll require Reuven to pay anyway, and he'll have to accept the shover. Because what are we saying in the beginning of our Mishnah over here? The first line of our Mishnah said she has a get, she doesn't have a ksuba. Now, she might conceivably still have the ksuba in her possession, and then she's going to bring it out in another basin. And after her husband dies, she's going to claim, you know what, I'm an almana, and I need to be paid my ksuba. Obviously, there won't be a get in that point. Obviously, there won't be a get in that case because she's claiming she's an almana. So does that mean that we'd always have to write a shover, that we'd always have to write a receipt in order to avoid that? And again, you wouldn't have in the case of a malva and a loiva, he wouldn't say, I'm not gonna pay until you bring the shtar. And the same thing over here, the husband wouldn't have the ability to say, I'm not paying you ksuba until you actually bring out ksuba. So is that what the Mishnah is implying? Now, Rashi says the problem with it is that when that machlokas comes up in Bava Basra, then the halacha, Rashi says, is like the opinion that says that ain kosvin shover, that the loiva, or in this case, the husband, can say, I'm not paying you, because then if I have to preserve a shover, I'm going to have to preserve it forever. What happens if mice get to it or whatever? Then I have a problem. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi and says, the Gemara actually says there, the Gemara actually implies there that we do write a shover. So rather, Tosfos says the question is, okay, but the fact is you have an opinion over there that says that you don't. So what would that opinion do with our Mishnah? The de en kosvin shover, and the Gemara continues, if you were to say you don't write a shover, isn't there a problem that she might conceivably bring out the ksuba after her husband dies and claim that she's an almana and entitled to a ksuba payment? How do we guard against that? So Rav says what we're talking about in our Mishnah is specifically a place where they don't write a written ksuba in the first place. There are, given that there is a takonas chachamim that a husband and wife have to have a ksuba, there were places where instead of bothering to actually write that out, they would rely on the Tanai Beis Din, and then they would have. We learned near the beginning of our Masechta in the second parak. That, for example, that there would be Edim, so there would be Edim that she was married as a Basula, there would be Edim even if they who saw that they did for her the kind of things that are usually done for Basulas, a certain kind of veil or certain kinds of treats that are given out to kids at that time, etc. So that's what our Mishnah is talking about. There's no ksuba in the first. So when our Mishnah says the Edim ksuba, doesn't mean that she's saying I had a ksuba and I lost it. It means rather a place where they don't have a ksuba in the first place. So then the only written document she's going to have to show that she was divorced is a get. And as far as in such a place, if she comes and says I'm an almana and pay me my ksuba, then she's going to have to bring edim that she was. Then she's going to have to bring edim for the fact that she was married, or if she wants the 200 that she was married as a b'sula. That's Rav's explanation. Shmuel says that our Mishnah is talking about even in a place where they do write a ksuba. So we're talking about that she lost it. So now the question is, Shmuel kosvin shover? So according to Shmuel, are we back to the thing saying that we need to write a shover? Again, according to Rashi, the problem is the halacha is that we don't. And according to Tosfos, the problem is that there is an opinion in Bava Basra that says that you don't. So Rav Onan explains that the dimi fauchali minei de Mar Shmuel. Mar Shmuel explained personally to me that what I mean is when I say that our Mishnah is talking about a place where they write a ksuba, that the makam she'ein kosvin v'omakasavti, if it's a place where usually they don't write if it's a place where usually they don't write a ksuva, and the husband wants to say that I wrote a ksuva and you had it and you lost it, then it's going to be up to the husband to bring a proof that at one time there was a ksuva written. And then once he brings such proof, then we're going to tell her, where's your ksuva? And then we're going to tell her, where's your ksuba? And if she doesn't have a ksuba, then she's not going to be able to collect with it. But on the other hand, the makam shekoisvin v'omra loy kosavli. But if it's a place where usually they write a ksuba, and she claims that he didn't, he was just soimach on the tanai based in aleh lahaviraya, then she's the one who's going to have to bring the proof that in fact, again, anytime you're changing from the minhag makam. So Rashi explains. So Shmuel is explaining like this: the reason that it doesn't necessarily mean that we need a shomer. If it's a place where they usually don't write one, and he says I did write one. Now what happens if she brings off again? If she brings out the ksuba again, he's going to have to be the one to bring raya that he wrote out again. So if he brings such a raya, then in the future, if he brings out this ksuba, then we're going to tell her that no, you can't collect with it because you already collected the first time. And vice versa, if it's a place where ksuba is usually written, and he says I didn't, and she says we didn't have one, then she's the one who's going to have to bring the proof. And therefore, when our Mishnah says in the first line, Hatsia get the enim ksuba, goiva ksubasa, that she can collect her ksuba, we're talking about where she has proof that no written ksuba was ever executed. So even though it's a place where usually they write a ksuba, but because, and the husband is saying, I wrote you a ksuba, where is it? If you want to collect it, then show me the document. And she's saying, I have proof that no ksuba was ever written. Then she brings out that proof. So now she's able to collect her ksuba on that basis. So the Gemara says. That's the thing. She has edim. So she has edim that when we were married, no ksuba was written. So she's saying, that's why I don't have my ksuba. So now if the husband is saying, no ksuba, I'm not going to pay you, then we tell him, sorry, but she has edim that you were soimach on that in this part, even though this is a place where normally they write a ksuba, but you decided to be soimach on the tnai based in and not bother writing a ksuba. So now you don't have a basis to say you shouldn't have to pay her because she has edim saying that in fact you were married. And the Gemara continues, Ba'af Rav Hodabay. In fact, Rav changed his mind and explained the Mishnah differently. First, we said Rav explained the Mishnah as saying that it's strictly talking about a place where they don't write a ksuba. Now, Rav changes his mind and says that we can explain the Mishnah differently. The Omer Rav, in fact, Rav says a new thing. Bein b'makom shekosvin, bein b'makom she'en kosvin, whether it's a place where they write a ksuba or a place where they don't write one and they rely on the tanai based in, either way, if she has only the get without a ksuba, goiva ikur, then that's enough for her to be able to collect just the ikur ksuba, the 100 or the 200 as the case may be. Ksuba, goiva tosfus, if she has the ksuba as well, then she can collect any tosfus, any voluntary amount that the husband added to the ksuba. So in other words, Rav is saying that it's not a matter of whether they write a get in this place or not. When we say in the Mishnah, hotzia get ve'enim ksuba, goiva ksubasa, we mean that she can collect the 100 or the 200, which would be the appropriate amount for her ksuba. But if she wants to collect anything more, then she needs the ksuba. And then even if she has the ksuba without the get, then she can collect the tosfus, the extra amount of the ksuba on that basis. So it still doesn't require a shover to be written. It's just a question of, oh, is she collecting only the ikur or is she collecting the tosfus? And Rav says, anybody who wants to come and try to refute that is welcome to try and refute that. Meaning, in other words, there's no refutation to that possible. That is definitely what the Mishnah means, says Rav. So in short, in other words, we have So in short, now we have like this. So Rav is saying it's not a matter of whether a ksuba is written. It's a matter of that with the get alone, she can collect the ikur, and with the ksuba, she can collect the tosfos, because they're only in a written ksuba does it say the tosfos after all. And according to Shmuel, we're saying that it depends whether what the local minhag is in terms of writing a ksuba or not, in terms of who's going to have to bring the proof that they did differently than normal. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tanah. Now let's look at our Mishnah and see which one it fits with better. Ksuba ve'eni maget, we said in the second part of the Mishnah, if she brings out the ksuba and not the get, hi yomeres obad giti, she's saying, I had a get and I lost it. He's saying that no, as Rashi had said in the Mishnah, your get was ripped up after I paid you. And I had a shover, but I lost it. Or similarly, we said that a Baal Chayv who brings out the document that the other guy owes him money, but he doesn't have a prusbul, then they can't be paid because we have to be choshesh that in fact he did already pay the ksuba or that the loan was canceled by Shmita. So b'shleim of the Shmuel. So now, according to Shmuel, it's easy enough to understand. Now, Shmuel doesn't distinguish between Iker and Tosfos. Shmuel is distinguishing between whether the local minig is to write a ksuba or not. So according to Shmuel, Muki Lob, Mokum Shein Kostin, Va'amak Kasavdi, Shmuel can explain that the second part of the Mishnah is talking about a place where they don't usually write a ksuba. He claims, I did write a ksuba. The Amulei, I see Raya. So we tell him, bring a proof that you actually wrote a ksuba. The Eloi, my see Raya, Amulei, Zil Pare. And therefore, if he doesn't bring a proof that he actually wrote a get. So now, in other words, it's a place where they don't usually write a get, we're saying. So usually we would believe him to say, as a result of the get, when we see a get, then we would believe him to say that he paid already. He's saying that previously she already took me to Beis Din over this. She brought out the get. So I told the Beis Din I'd written her a ksuba. They told me, well, if you wrote her a ksuba, and this is a place where they don't usually write a ksuba, bring a proof. I couldn't find a proof. So they told me pay. And then I said, in that case, then fine, I'll pay. But then in that case, write for me a shoyim. So in other words, so Shmuel will explain, how does he come to claim that he has a shover in the first place? If we said before, as Rashi had said, the halacha is like the opinion that ain't kosvin shover, or as Tosfos had said, we're talking according to the opinion that we don't. So how does he come to claim that he has a shover in the first place? So he's saying, because when I first claimed in Beis Din that she should have a ksuba, because I wrote one, they told me, bring proof, because this was the kind of place where they don't usually write a ksuba, and now I couldn't find that proof, so I told Beis Din, fine, if I'm going to have to pay her, then I want at least a shover to back me up, so that in the future, I have proof. Now I've lost that shover, so Shmuel will understand that that's what the Mishnah is talking about. So again, let's read the words of the Gemara again. The Shleim of the Shmuel, Muki Law, he will explain the Mishnah. But Mokum Shein Kosvin, we're talking about a place where they don't usually write a ksuba. But Omar Kasabdi, he had said previously in Beis Din that I did write a ksuba. Down meaning like Icy Raya. So we had told him in the previous Beis Din, bring proof that there was a ksuba. The Eloi Maisi Raya. And if you can't bring such a proof, I'm meaning like Zil Pare, then we tell him, go pay. So now, when he's claiming that I had a shover, I lost it. Meanwhile, she's saying I had a get and I lost it. And he's saying, no, it's not that you had a get and you lost it. It's that the first time around, they not only wrote me a shover, but they ripped up your get. And now you don't have your get because they ripped it up. And I don't have my shover because I lost it. So Shmuel will understand the Mishnah as talking about that kind of scenario. But according to Rav, who distinguishes between Iker and Tosfos, he says that all you can collect with the get is the Iker. If you want to collect the Tosfos, you need the Ksuba. Well, it's true that in the second case of the Mishnah, Ksuba and no get, she shouldn't be collecting the Iker, because to collect the Iker, according to Rav, she needs a get. Tosfos, but why shouldn't she be able to at least to collect, why shouldn't she at least be able to collect the tosfos? And yet the Mishnah is saying, Harei lo yiparu, they can't be paid at all. So why not? The answer is, Amar Rav Yosef, Hocha, Mayaskinen, Kishain Sham Eide Gerushin. The answer is, we're talking about not only she doesn't have a get, not only she doesn't have the get, but she doesn't even have Eidos that she was ever divorced. Migo de Yachal Loima, Loi Gerashtiha. Now, therefore, the husband has a migo. He could say that he could say, I never divorced her. So therefore, what do you mean? What ksuba? I don't owe you a ksuba yet. I didn't divorce you. Therefore, instead, instead, he has a nigger to say, yes, I did divorce her, but I paid her a ksuba. So therefore, she doesn't have a claim to be paid. Now, Tosfos points out that earlier in the Masechta, we have a din that says that if a woman says to her husband, Gerashtani, you divorced her, you divorced me, then we do believe her even without Edim, because we have a chazaka, Ein Isha Me'iza Paneah B'fnei Baila, a woman is not going to be so brazen as to say blatantly to her husband's face, you divorced me, when in fact she did, when in fact he didn't. So how does that fit with the Gemara over here talking about that he has a migri to say that he could have said, I didn't divorce you? So Tosfos distinguishes between whether she wants to collect her ksuba or not. Tosfos says this that we say Ha'isha Sha'amal Baila Gerashtani Nemenes is talking about when she's not demanding the ksuba payment. So then we can believe her because Einishim is upon her. But over here in our Gemara, we're talking about she wants the ksuba payment. So then we don't say that chazaka, because maybe the fact that she wants money, the fact that she wants to collect this money is maybe why she's being mazed upon her. So that's how Tosfos explains. The Rambam makes a different distinction than Rambam says based on the Gemara over here. We're saying according to Rav, that the distinction would be, can she collect Ikur Ksuba or Tosfos as well? When she says Gerashtani, then she, on that basis, she can collect Ikur Ksuba, but if she wants Tosfos Ksuba, then she needs more proof than just her say-so that she was divorced. So here we'd be talking about, according to that then, so we'd be saying that again, there's no Eda Gerashin, so he's able to say, I never divorced you. Now, if she counterclaims and says, you did divorce me, we would believe her, but only as far as the Ikur, not the Tosfos. That's according to the Rambam. There's a machlokas we're showing him in this connection over here. Who do we paskin like over here? We paskin like Rav or like Shmuel. In Dine Isser Vehetu, we usually paskin like Rav. In Dine Mominus, we usually paskin like Shmuel. So you have that consideration. The Baal HaMor points out other considerations based on a Gemara in Bava Metzia that might be a reason to discuss who the halacha is like. Anyway, so Rav is going to understand our Mishnah that way, that we're talking about, where not only she has no get, she has no edus for the get, so therefore he has a migui that he could say that I already divorced her and paid her huksuba. Now, Tosfos brings up the point, actually, that what we're saying, he has a migui, he could say I didn't divorce him, but why would he even want to make such a claim? Then he's still on the hook for sure. Then he's still on the hook for share and ksus. He'd still have to provide her mizonis and food, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. So what kind of a migger is that? The whole point of a migger is he's trying to get himself out of paying. Now, if he says, I'm still married to you, then he'd still be on the hook for those things. So Tosfos says that actually, no. Even if he says, I didn't divorce you, Tosfos compares it to a case in Halacha of Tane Chitim V'Hodoloi B'Sa'odin. If Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me X amount of wheat, and Shimon counterclaims and says, no, I owe you only X amount of barley, then we say we don't say that he's considered a motive amitzas, because he's admitting on a different thing completely than what he was claimed, than what was claimed against him. So therefore, Tosfos draws an analogy between that and this, where if he says, I didn't divorce you, in effect, what he's saying is, in effect, it's true. He's saying that therefore I'm still chayiv in she'er and ksus, but that's the equivalent, but that's a side claim that has nothing to do with what we're dealing with over here, which is that she wants to be paid huksuba, and therefore we don't have to worry about that. So therefore we can still accept his migui. We can still say that he has a migui. He could have said that I'm still married to you. As far as ksuba, therefore, I'm not required to pay it. And as far as sher ksus va'ona, that's a separate thing. You want to take me to Beis Din and claim that I'm required to give you sher and ksus, then we'll deal with that separately. But right now, in terms of the ksuba that you want to be paid, then I'm not required. Then I'm not required to do that. So Rav would understand on Mishnah that way, that that's why we don't make him pay the ksuba when she doesn't have the get with it, because of this, because she doesn't have Edom either, and therefore he has this meter. So the Gemara asked the Homid Katani Sefer. Another explanation that some of the Rishonim give is maybe once she's claiming that you divorced me, maybe in effect she herself is saying you're potter from paying me share in ksus, because if she herself is admitting that she's divorced. So that's not necessarily a strong enough proof for him to have to pay her ksuba, but it's strong enough for him to be able to get out of paying share in ksus. So therefore he has a good maker. So the Gemara says, "Homid katani sefer." Yeah, but let's look at the next part of the Mishnah. We said, "Reb Shimon gam liyolay." I mean, a sakana ve'elach isha goyva ksubasa shaloi beget or ba'achoyv shaloi beprusbol. We said Reb Shimon Gamliel says that from the time of danger and onward, from the time of Gzeiras Amalchus, of Shmad and on, then we said a woman can collect a ksuba without a get, and a ba'achoyv can collect even without a prusbol, because we said they're afraid to hold on to their get or they're afraid to hold on to their prusbol. Now, on the face of it, don't we have to be talking about that at least she has edim that she was divorced? If she has no edus even that she was divorced, how could she possibly collect her ksuba? Fine, it's shasa sakona, but we're still not going to say that we trust her on anything she says. She still has to bring some kind of proof. So if she's not able to bring a get, because we say that she probably tore it up or burnt it as soon as she received it, and she has no edim, then how could Reb Shimon Gamliel even be saying that we could believe her to collect her ksuba? So obviously we have to be talking about that there were edim. Well, if there were edim, then there's no migui. So how is Rav going to understand the earlier part of our Mishnah as talking about where there are no edim? On the face of it, what Reb Shimon Gamliel is talking about has to be continuing the case of the Tanakama. We're saying you Tanakama say one thing, and I say in that case something different. So the answer is Ela Kula Reb Shimon Gamliel. The answer is we can say that according to Rab, that the whole Mishnah is going like Reb Shimon Gamliel. B'chsuri mechzera, the Mishnah is missing a phrase. B'hachi katani, the Mishnah means to say like this. We said that if she has a get, and that if she has the ksuba but no get, then we can't then she can't collect. Similarly, we said a bal choyv has a shtar choyv but no prusbol, then he can't collect. But now the Mishnah would be missing a phrase to say by medvarim amurim. When is that talking about? Kisha ein sham ede gerushin. When there are no edus, when there are no edim that she was divorced, where then, like Rav says, the husband has a migui where he could say, "I never divorced you in the first place." But the Mishnah would be implying if there were edim that she was divorced, then he has no migui. Therefore, she can collect not only therefore, on that basis, she can collect the toisvus, because as Rav said, even without a get, Rav says she can collect the toisvus, because after all, that's written into the ksuba, and she has edim that she was divorced. As far as the ikur, as far as collecting the ikur ksuba, the 100 or the 200, e mak the gitya gavya, only if she actually brings out the get is the Tanakama saying that she'll be able to collect the ikur ksuba. The eloi mak the gitya loy gavya, if she does not bring out the get, then she won't be able to collect the ikur ksuba, only the toisvus ksuba, because that's what Rav was saying before, that the ksuba allows her to collect the toisvus, but the get is what allows her to collect the ikur. He or she has no get, so even though she has a degerushin, she can still only collect the toisvus, not the ikur. But the Mishnah would be continuing, umina sakona ve'elach, from the time of sakona and onward, afagab lemak gita, even if she doesn't bring out a physical get, gavya, she can still collect the ikur as well. Sherib Shimon Gamliel, Misakon Ba'elach, Ichigoy Ksubasa, Shalabi Get to Ba'al Choyv, Shalabi Kruzbo. because Reb Shimon Gamliel. So in other words, so we would say the whole Mishnah is going like Reb Shimon Gamliel. We don't have to say that there's actually a machloikus over here. The Gemara's problem was that again, that if there's no Eda Gerushin, then Reb Shimon Gamliel can't possibly be saying that she could collect to Ksuba, because what kind of proof does she have? She has no get. She has no idea that she was ever divorced. What kind of basis does she have for even saying that she should have a ksuba to collect? So therefore, obviously, we have to be talking about in the Sefer where there are Eda Gerushin. Well, in that case, according to the Tanakhama, we said, wouldn't there have to be as well? And then how can Rav understand that there's no Eda Gerushin? So now we're saying the Mishnah itself is actually making that distinction whether there are Eda Gerushin or not. If there are no Eda Gerushin, then she has no basis to claim at all. If there are Eda Gerushin, the Tanakhama will say, without a get, she can't collect the Iker, and Reb Shimon Gamliel, or it's not even a Machlokas, the Tanakhama, and Reb Shimon Gamliel would say that when before the time of Sakana, with only a get, she can collect only the Tosfos, and now after Shasa Sakana, instead she can also collect the Iker, because she has a valid claim in Beis Din to say that I had a get and I had to burn it out of fear of the Romans or whoever it was. Marsha, by the way, points out that in order to make this work, in order to have the Surah Mechsira, the Gemara didn't have to say that the Mishnah is all appointed of Shimon Gamliel. We could, after all, stick with saying that the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon Gamliel are arguing about what happens after Shasa Sakana. Do we allow her to collect the Iker or not? But Marsha says that if we're talking about that there's no get, but there's a get, then after all, if the Tanakhama were to say that without a physical get, you can't collect the Iker, then according to the Tanakhama, how would you be able to collect it? According to him, Edim are not enough. You'd need an actual get, and an actual get is not available because you have to burn it out of fear. So therefore, necessarily, the Gemara can't say that the Tanakhama can possibly hold that way, and therefore it necessarily has to say that Reb Shimon Gamliel is the author of the entire Mishnah. And then the Maharam Shif talks about it further, since we're putting it together with the case of Baal Chov Shalei B'Prusbol, so therefore it means that if we were to say that the Mishnah does in fact have Machloikas, and that Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim are arguing, it wouldn't work out with this matter of Prusbol. So he says that's another reason maybe to say that just to say that it has to be according to Reb Shimon Gamliel. And he says similar. He ends up saying similar to Marasha, because after all, what would the Tanakhama say? Mishas is a kind of elach. How is she supposed to collect? So we can still make the Mishnah work according to Rav. So Shmuel would understand there are in fact two opinions in the Mishnah over here. You have the Tanakhama saying, the Tanakhama talking about a case where, so we'd have the second part of the Mishnah about where she has a ksuba and no get, where harei lo yiparu. So Shmuel would understand that we're talking about that. It's a case again where usually no ksuba is written. The husband claims I wrote a ksuba. So we tell him you have to bring edim that you wrote that ksuba. If not, then you have to pay her. Now later on when he's claiming, okay, so then in the first Beis Din where all that took place, they wrote me a shuva. Now I don't have it. Then we accept his claim, and we say therefore that he doesn't have to pay her again. Because after all, she should have her get. And then Reb Shimon Gamliel is pointing out that Mishasa Sakana Ve'elach, then it's not like that, because she doesn't need a get. According to Rav, we would say there's no machloikas in the Mishnah. We would say that the Mishnah, that Reb Shimon Gamliel himself is distinguishing between whether there are Edim or not, and he himself is also distinguishing between before Shasa Sakana and after Shasa Sakana in terms of what can she collect, Iker versus Tosfos. Okay, so the Gemara continues. I'm related of Kahana Rav Asi L'Rav. So now, Rav Kahana and Rav Asi ask Rav, "Lidi doch, according to your opinion, da'amet get goiva iker, da'amet get goiva iker, And you're saying that even with just a get, that with just a get, with no ksuba, that's enough for her to collect the ikar, for her to collect the tosfos, she needs the ksuba. But according to you, they ask him, almonim in any suin, my gavya. Then suppose she wasn't divorced, suppose that she's an almona after the marriage took place, when there's so you already have, so the ksuba is already in effect. But according to you, Rab, she needs to have the get in order to collect the ikar. Otherwise, if she only has the ksuba, she collects only the tosfos. Well, if she's an almona, then of course there's no get. So then how is she supposed to collect the ikar? Now, Tosfos points out the question could be according to Shmuel as well, because in a place where they don't write a ksuba, the question would be if there's no written ksuba, then and again, she's an almona, then how is she supposed to collect anything? If she doesn't have you can't say that there's no get because her husband died. The Shittim Kovetzis, on the other hand, brings from Rishonim, who say that no, according to Shmuel, if it's a place where they don't write a ksuba, then we would say that it's their fault that in this place they don't write a ksuba. Then therefore we're gonna have to take other measures in such places. She'll have to bring Adim or some such thing. So the question is only on Rav. According to Rav, who says you don't need Adim, but you do need to have a get in order to collect the ikar. So if there's no get because she's an almona rather than a grusha, then how is she collecting that ikar? So he answers them. So he answers be'edei misa. Okay, so the she would have to have Adim that her husband died. The problem with that is they continue asking v'leichosh duma gersha. Don't you have the concern then that he might have divorced her? And when he divorced her, he paid her the ksuba.
Unless she's
a murderess, then she deserves the ksuba.
But
maybe he divorced her. Umatka gita. Now, meanwhile, she's going to take out the get in another bastin, but gabia, and she's going to be able to collect the ikar with that. So in other words, what's going to happen? She was divorced. Later on, her husband dies. So now there'll be Eide Misa. So therefore, she'll collect her ksuba on that basis. Meanwhile, she has a get because previously he divorced her. And now she's going to go take out that get in another base then and collect her get. So according to Rab, you have to think of everything. So according to Rab, how would we deal with that? So he answers, be a Sheves Tachas Baila. Okay, so we have to be talking about where she's still living with her husband. So in other words, when would an almona be able to collect her ksuba according to this? Only if we know that she was actually living together with her husband and there was no get. Okay, so the question is, v'duma somach l'misa girsha. Still, he might have divorced her shortly before he passed away. So then, in other words, up till a day before he died, they were living together. So how do you do that? And the answer is, ihuhu de'afsid anafshe. In that case, if he did that, if he divorced her so close to when he died, and he didn't arrange for Adim or Shtar or something like that to show that he paid her ksuba, then he's the one who caused himself the loss. So therefore, we don't need to worry about it. So Rab will still say that, in that case, she might be able to get away with it. But in that case, it's the husband's responsibility to make sure that, in fact, that she's not going to be able to by making the appropriate arrangements. Okay, they continue asking Rab, almona min erusin b'may gavya. How about if she's an almona only from erusin? So when there was nisuin, then we can say they were living together. Erusin, they're not yet living together. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, if she's an almona only from erusin, we said that if he divorced her shortly before he died and he didn't take steps to make sure that then Yehuda after then he lost for himself. So it's his problem. So now the question is, he should have thought of that. So now the question is, almona min erusin b'may gavya. Now suppose that she's an almona only from erusin. They weren't living together, so you can't use the previous answer that we have Adim that they were living together. So now.
What should he have done? Because he died.
And so the point is, before he died, if he divorced her shortly before he died, at that point he should have taken steps. He should have made sure that there were Adim, for example, available to testify that he divorced her and paid her ksuba.
Okay, so that means you always have to do that because one, you know, he could.
Yeah.
Not if he, not,
Right. Or at that point when he divorces, or at that point when he divorces her, he could also, he gives her the get, and then afterwards, after paying the tshuva, he has basically rip it up so that she can't collect with it again. If he didn't take any of those steps, and now she wants to bring out the get, where now she has Eidei Missa in one place and the get in another place, that's his problem. Yeah. Well, if he was alive, then there's no Eidei Missa, obviously. Yeah. Okay. Onward. The Gemara says, the question is, okay. So now the question is, Amonimina Ederson b'may gapia. What about if she's widowed from Ederson? There's no Eidim that they were living together, because of course they weren't living together yet. But you still have, don't you still have the problem then? So first the question is how she's collecting. We've got a get in order to collect the ikker. So if there's no get because she's widowed, then how is she collecting the ikker? And the answer is be'edim missa. Again, you have edim that her husband died. Now the question is again, don't you have the same problem that maybe he divorced her umakka gita, and then she'll bring out the get in a different city. Begavia, and she'll collect the ikar again. Ella, so Rav says, fine, you're right. The mokum delay efshar kosvin shover. Where there's no other alternative. All this time we've been discussing in the Gemara the point that we don't want to have to write a shover. We don't want to have the husband accept the shover, and then forever after he's going to have to make sure that shover doesn't get eaten by mice.
Like the guy who paid the loan.
Yeah. But just like the guy who paid the loan, exactly. But when there's no alternative, kosvin shover, okay, when there's no alternative, then kasvin and shover, then we're going to have to write a shover. So yes, in the case of an almonim and an erusin, then we're going to have no choice. Even Rav is going to have to agree that in this case, we write a shover because there's no other alternative.
And is that a similar conclusion with just the malven
aleva? When in the case of malven aleva also, there are certain rare cases where... And the Gemara says, the Eloi Temahofi, after all, if you're not going to say that, if you're going to say you never write a shover, Eidei Missa Gufayu, don't you have a problem? Even if there's no get involved at all, don't you have a problem just with Eidei Missa themselves? Nechosh Dema Makta Eidei Missa Bahai Beidina, conceivably, she could bring the Eidim that her husband died to one Beistin, Begavia, and collect the Tzuba, Vahodir Makta Beidina Achrin Begavia, and then she'll be able to.
Hold on, listen.
Okay, go ahead. It's your place, but I'm here.
That's fine, Shlomo. Bring it over here and put it over here. So the fact is, Rav is saying there are going to be times you have to write a show. Because otherwise, even if there's only Eidei Missa, suppose there's no get at all. Nechosh Dema Makta Eidei Missa Bahai Beidina. Shouldn't we have to be concerned? She might bring out Eidim of Missa in one Beistin, Begavia, and collect the Tzuba. Vahodem Makta Beidina Achruin of Begavia, and then go to another Beistin and bring the same Eidim there and collect again. Ella, so obviously the answer is Vadeb Mokim Belayevshir. Obviously, in a case where there's no other alternative, Kasvin and Shover, we will write a Shover, and that's the scenario over here. So once she collects with the Eidim Missa in one Beistin, then yes, Beistin will have to tell the Yoshim, we're going to give you a Shover because there's really no other alternative, given that it's a place where in Kosvin Ksuba, so we don't have a Ksuba to take back from her and rip up. Then, therefore, necessarily, we're going to have to have you guys accept a Shover if you don't want to have to pay again. So the Gemara asks, now, we said before that an Amonim and an Ederson receives a Ksuba. So let's analyze that point. Amonim and an Ederson min nolam de isla Ksuba. How do we know that an Amonim and an Ederson gets a Ksuba? Especially if Rashi says if he wrote out a ksuba, fine, he can write out whatever he wants. But if it's a place where they rely on the Tanai Beistin and no actual ksuba is written out, how do we even know that during Erusin she's even entitled to the ksuba? Now Rashi explains that where are we even getting that point from? Because we said that she might conceivably bring Eidei Missa to one place and collect, and then bring Eidei Missa to another place and collect. Now, obviously, even if there was a ksuba written, she would have had to give up the ksuba in the first place. And yet we're saying that conceivably she could bring Eidei Missa to another place. So that implies, in other words, that even if there's no ksuba at all, she's able to collect the Tanai Beistin. She's able to claim in the second place there was no ksuba because we relied on the Tanai Beistin. Beistin is going to say, okay, but you were an Arusa. And then she's going to say, yeah, but an Arusa is still entitled to a ksuba. So how do we know that? Other Mephoshim explain that, other Rishonim explain that we're just taking it from the simple fact that we said before that we asked the question, Amonim and Aresin b'may gavya, implying that we knew that an Amonim and Aresin is entitled to a ksuba. Anyway, so how do we know that? Ilema Meha. Are you going to say that we learn it from, are you going to say that we learn that concept from the following Mishnah that we learned earlier in the Masech? And it's Amla and Iskarisha, Benmina Erison, Benmina Esun, Goibras Akoil. We said that if she's widowed or divorced, whether after Erison or whether after Misurin, she can collect everything. So therefore, we see that an arusa collects the ksuba. But you could say duma de kosavla. That could be in the specific case where he wrote her out of ksuba. So fine, he wants to write a ksuba that should take effect during the erusin. He's entitled to. The question is, how do we know, even when there's no written ksuba, that we're taking it as a given in the discussion before, that an almona that an almona and an erusin gets a ksuba? So you can say, then what's the chiddush? If he writes to her, of course she can collect it. Whatever he writes, then fine. We could say, you could say that that Mishnah is coming to exclude the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He said, earlier in the Masechta, that even if he wrote out a ksuba while she was in Arusa, and then we would say she still can't collect it because the only reason he wrote a ksuba because he had in mind marriage. So therefore, according to him, an almonim and erusin doesn't collect. So therefore, the other tana would be saying that she does. So that proves that when a ksuba is written as that she can collect it in another rusa. That doesn't prove that with an unwritten ksuba she should be able to collect. And in fact, dekanami. In fact, we can see that's what it means. The katani goiva sakol. Because after all, the Mishnah says she can collect everything. If he's saying he wrote her out, then of course, then of course there's an everything, because there's an ikur and a toisvis. The toisvis, of course, has to be written, otherwise how would we know? If he said he didn't write an ksuba, then what's the hakol? She would only get the 100 or the 200, because that's the tanai based. So obviously, therefore, we have to be talking about where ksuba was written. And the only chiddush is that even though a ksuba, that even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would say even a ksuba was written, then you still don't give her anything when she's in arusa, and therefore the other chachamim would be saying that you do. So that's not a proof that where no ksuba is written and arusa should be able to collect. The elam b'tani Rabchir ba'ovin. Are you going to say we learn it from what Rabchir ba'ovin says? We're in a brisa. Ishtei arusa le'onin v'le matanula. If a kohen's wife is an arusa, he doesn't become an onin and he can't be matami for her because he can only do that. So an onin that he should be possible from bringing korbanah. So for that matter, that part can apply to a yisrael as well, that he can't eat ma'aser sheni when he's an onin. So that wouldn't apply if his wife is an arusa. He's not matami for her, which can mean if he's a kohen. It can also mean a yisrael during the times of the sholosh regolim because chayiv ad matar atzmi b'regel. Similarly, the Braisa continues, if he dies while she's in Arusa, she's not an onin for him and she is not matame for him. Where again, it can mean she doesn't have to be matame for him, because after all, a bas koyin or a wife of koyin is allowed to become tame. Again, it can also mean during the sholosh regolim, she shouldn't become tame for him. The Braisa continues, Mesa in a Yosha, if she dies during the Erisin, then he doesn't inherit from her. Mes who, on the other hand, if he dies during the Erisin, Goiva Ksubasa, then she can still collect her Ksuba. So doesn't that show that an Arusa gets a Ksuba? But still, Dilma the Kosovla, again, you could say that can be talking about where he wrote her Ksuba. Again, Chiteme Kosovla Maila Memra, then in that case, you'd say, what's the Chiddush? Of course, if he wrote her out of Ksuba, then it's in effect. And the answer would be, Mesa in a Yosha, it's Rikhalai. You could say, maybe the Chiddush of the Braisa is the part about that if she dies during that time, that he doesn't yaush her. So because of that, therefore, to be parallel, it mentions that if he dies, she collects her ksuba. So in other words, it actually says, even though they're so close to getting married, that he already wrote her out of ksuba, nevertheless, he still wouldn't yaush her. So therefore, again, he wouldn't yaush her. So therefore, again, that doesn't prove that if no ksuba was written, that she should be able to collect mina erisin, and yet we were saying before that she could. So what's the source for that? So we're saying that even if ksuba was written, then nevertheless he's still not inheriting from her. So therefore we don't seem to really have a proof that an almonim and an erusin should be able to collect the ksuba. We don't seem to have found a proof in any of these things. Okay, so the Gemara says, Omer Rav Nachman Rav Huna, the Rav de Omer get goiva iker. According to Rav, that if she has a get but no ksuba, just on the basis of the get alone, she can collect the ikur ksuba. Don't you have the possibility that she might bring the get to one based in begavia and collect the ikur ksuba with that? And then she'll bring out the get in another based in and collect with it. You're going to say we rip up the get the first time, like we were saying all this time. She's going to say, what do you mean? You can't rip up my get. I want to have another proof that I can get remarried in the future. The answer is the answer is we do rip it up, but we write on the back of it, we ripped up this get, not because it is a get posel, which also would be ripped up, but just so that she can't collect from it in another base thing. So that way we've covered all our bases. She can still use it to remarry because we'll see the writing on the back, but on the other hand, she can't use it to collect in another base thing because of that.
Now
we rip up the get for a different reason, yeah, because of all the shittas, and we give her a piece of paper. Right, so back then they wouldn't give her a separate piece of paper, but we're saying that the get itself would be ripped up and they would write on the back of it that she can't collect with it again.
She could have to go back.